Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020#. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we love people, live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. And let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of John, chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Amen. Well, praise God for the privilege and the opportunity to share with you the living word of God. Amen. Family, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke and remind you and all your demonic angels and render all your powers null and void. And you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask in the name of the Son of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, the Anointed One, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, please open them to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. And we are going to continue our teaching and possibly finish up today on the message, the ministry gifts and their purpose. Once again, the ministry gifts and their purpose. So if you have found Ephesians, chapter 4, we're going to read verses 11 through 16. And it says, "And he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no longer children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compact, by which every joint supplieth, according to the effective working in the measure of every part, make it increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Amen. Now, our last time together, we had began looking at the purpose of these ministry gifts, because we know that our Lord is a purpose-driven being. He does not do things just because he has nothing to do. He does them for our benefit and for us to be successful in every area of our lives in this dying world. So let's continue where we left off last week. So let's look at verse 11 and 12, to which connects the gifts and their purpose. So verse 11 says this: "And he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." Now, before we continue, it said he gave some. So we know that all were not apostles, all were not prophets, all were not evangelists, and all were not pastors and teachers, but some were. Amen. And then verse 12 begins with the word for, F-O-R, which in this case is used as a conjunction and gives us a more emphasis on the connecting of the two verses together to bring clarity on the subject, which in this case is the purpose of the ministry gifts. So if we were to read 11, and then we're going to read into verse 12, and it says, "And he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." So we see the reasons why he gave these ministry gifts: for the equipping of the saints, and everyone who has received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and Lord, or what we call a born again Christian or a believer, you are a saint. So it says, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and we know ministry is work, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. So we see, number one, for the equipping of the saints. And that simply means to furnish and supply the saints within the body of Christ the necessary elements for their service and their assignments. Amen. That's what equipping of the saints mean. And these ministry gifts, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and pastor teachers, they all have their assignment that God has given them for the body of Christ. And that main assignment is for the equipping of the saints, to teach and to show us by example what God wants for his children. Amen. And especially the body of Christ. Then it says, for the work of the ministry, for the work of the ministry. Now, in case you didn't know it, ministry is work, W-O-R-K. But it's good work. It's work that is not only satisfying, but gratifying. Amen. It says, for the work of the ministry. So the body of Christ being equipped for the service in labor, for the ministry, because ministry is simply spelled W-O-R-K. And then finally, in verse number 12, it says, for the edifying of the body of Christ. For the edifying of the body of Christ. And that simply means for the building up and strengthening of the body of Christ. Amen? For the building up and strengthening the body of Christ. We want the body of Christ to be mature and strong in the things of God. Amen? So let's look at the application of these gifts for their use in our lives. Now, we have already discussed some of the applications. So let's begin with verse number 13. Verse number 13. It says, till we all come into the unity of the faith. It says, till we all come into the unity of the faith. Now, before we get into the discussion of this particular verse, you know, we must understand that our Heavenly Father will never give you an assignment that He knew that you could not accomplish. Now, you might attempt to do something on your own authority and fail and blame it on God because it didn't achieve the results that you expected. But that is not God's fault, because you went off on your own into an assignment that He didn't give you, or the authority to do. That verse says, till we all come into the unity of the faith. Now, it's interesting because until we all come is an inclusive expression, meaning that we all can do it. Now, notice it didn't say until some of us come. It didn't say that. It said that we all come, which suggests our Father wants us all on one accord, united agreement. Amen? And we can do it. As believers, our expression of faith should be that of unity and not discord. Amen? Till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Amen. And so we have to understand that we can do that. If God said we can do it, we can do it. And let me tell you something. The main reason why we haven't all came into the unity of the faith is because we don't all want to come. Amen. You know, Satan, you know, he's been around for a long time, and he's good at what he does. And he's going to see to it, because he's coming with strife, discord, and destruction to try to keep the body of Christ from being on one accord, unified under the banner of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? But we can do it. We can do it, and we are going to do it in the name of Jesus. We just have to stay focused on the assignment that God has given us, and we will be successful. Because the scriptures tells us that we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. So if we can do all things, then we can all come into the unity of the faith. Amen. And then verse number 14 says that we henceforth be no longer children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So we have to be mature in the things of God. Verse 14 says again, that we henceforth be no longer children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, cunningly craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now, that word children here simply means a simple-minded person or an immature Christian. It simply means a simple-minded person or an immature Christian. Please go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Again, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we're going to read verses number 11. And it says, When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. We all, when we were children, did very childish things because we didn't know any better. We did as children do, very childish things. But when we became a man, we put away childish things. We no longer should do those things that we did when we were children. Amen? So we have to understand them because we cannot allow Satan to come and toss us to and fro and carry us with every wind of doctrine or teaching. We have to be mature enough to understand the word of God and to be able to distinguish between what is good and what is bad. Amen. Now turn to Proverbs 22. We no longer be children tossed to and fro. Proverbs 22 and then verse number 15. It says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Foolishness. Yes, it is. You know, you can remember many foolish things that you did when you were young. I can remember a lot of the foolish things that we did as children. And praise God, we had people praying for us and had their angels camped around us because some of those things we did, we shouldn't even be here today. Amen? But we are. So it is foolishness that is bound in the heart of a child. That's why the scripture says that we henceforth be no longer children. We be no longer children, simple-minded persons or immature Christians. Pastors do all for the church that literally a shepherd does for sheep. In other words, he feeds them, he nurtures them, he cares for them, and protects them from enemies. We got to remember that children are gullible, they're vulnerable, and easily victimized. Amen. That's why today you have to be very careful what your children look at and read on the internet because they're vulnerable. They're gullible to anything, any wind of doctrine. And so you have to protect them. And that's what a pastor does. That's his job. Amen. That's part of his job as being a pastor is to feed the sheep, to nurture the sheep, to care for them and protect them from Satan and all his demonic demons. That is why the church needs to work diligently at moving babes in Christ on to maturity. Now, please turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. Again, we're going to 1 Peter chapter 2. And we're going to read verse number 2. And it says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. So it says here, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. And so that's what we need to do as Christians. We need to desire the sincere milk of the word of God. And that's the mature milk. You know, we have to get off baby formula and go into the word of God. Amen? And we can do it. And we can do it. God wants us to be united under the banner of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then finally, it says that the whole body, and we're speaking of the church, be fitly joined together and compact by which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make it increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So the whole body is supposed to be fitly joined together and compact by that which every joint supplied. Every joint supplied. That means every person. Every person in the body of Christ has an assignment to do. And if you understand what your assignment is, then every joint can be fitly joined together, and we can overcome the wiles of the devil. Now, I'm pretty sure that everybody likes sports. So let me give you an example in regards to how the whole body fitly joined together and compact by that which every joint supplied. Let's look at the baseball, the World Series that we have just witnessed between the Los Angeles Dodgers and the Toronto Blue Jays. And let's look at the seventh and final game, which was a wonderful series. This series had everything in it. I mean, it was so exciting that, wow, if you were a baseball fan, they really gave us a smorgasbord of wonderful defense and offensive and pitching playing. But when you look at the Dodgers, and I'm going to name some players, and I'm going to show you how we can all be unified and the whole body fitly joined together. Let's look at Max Muntly, the third baseman for the Dodgers. He hit a home run to keep the Dodgers close because they were down 3-0. But he hit the home run and kept them close and kept the momentum going for the Dodgers. Then we have Miguel Rojas. Now, Miguel has not played for a long time in the series, and he was on the bench. But the manager decided, Dave Roberts, to make a change, and he brought him in. He brought him in on the sixth and the seventh game, replacing the starting second baseman. Now, I always told you that everybody cannot be the drum major. God wants his body of Christ to be unified. And the only way to be unified is that you have to go along with the plan that God has given us. So this plan that Dave Roberts had put together, he brought in Miguel Rojas, and in the ninth inning with one out, what did he do? He tied the game with a home run. We got here, the body of Christ, so we're looking at the body of the Dodgers, fitly joined together, in which every joint supplied. So we see where every player supplied their particular gifts and talents for the group, and the group is the team to win. And then let's look at Andy Pejas, the center fielder, who ran a long distance that a run was hit by one of the Toronto players, and he ran from center field a long way to the left field, and he ran over the left fielder and jumped over him and caught the ball. The left fielder crashed into the wall, but the center field, Andy Pejas, caught the ball. What he did at that particular time was save the game, because that was the ninth inning, and he caught the fly ball to take the game in the extra innings. He hadn't played for a while, but did he cry? Did he moan? Did he, was he upset because he didn't get a lot of playing time? No. When he came in, he was able to play his solo and do what he had to do. Every part jointly fixed together. And then finally, the MVP of the World Series, we have Mr. Yamamoto, the pitcher. He had pitched the day before, the sixth game, to take the World Series into the final game seven. And he pitched the whole game and won that game. And he came back the next day on the seventh game, and he pitched three innings to win the game. And this was after Will Smith had hit a home run a game winner to win the game. So we see here you had everybody in the band doing their part. Everybody realized they couldn't be the drum major. But every part that was jointly fitted together, that every joint supplied according to the effectual working of the measure of every part. Every part that Tommy Roberts put in, the coach, they did their part for the good of the team, and they won the World Series. So as ministers and as saints and as followers of Christ, if you just do your part, then every joint will be supplied and every joint will be effectually working to the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Amen. And you know what? I'm out of time. So thank you for yours. And remember these words from 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. God bless you.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.